This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
2 days after it was reported that a Melbourne man had contracted HIV while on the PrEPX study, Chris Williams wrote the following in an article on m8.com.au titled "Facing Our Fears, What Does News of a Possible PrEP Failure Mean?" Remember that somewhere in Victoria, one person is the subject of our social commentary. If you feel compelled to join in, consider your words with compassion. In a media release from the Victorian AIDS Council, two possible causes for the Victorian case were mentioned. One was if a person is not adhering to their PrEP regimen. The other was if a person comes into sexual contact with a person living with HIV who has a detectable viral load together with a strain of the virus that's resistant to PrEP medication. At the time, no one knew why this had occurred, just that it had been reported that it had. It was the facts that we had at the time, and with these facts, people speculated online and in the media, which led to gossip and rumours and fueled greater stigma for this individual and all people living with HIV. Now on The Informer, the Melbourne man who contracted HIV while on the antiretroviral medication is sharing his experience of what it was like having his voice taken away from him and what that meant for his journey.
There was a bit of a media witch hunt that occurred in regard to trying to find you and trying to figure out who you were, because the information was released. The fact that this had occurred, that a member of our community was HIV positive, and that information went national, it went worldwide. And while a name wasn't mentioned, it was talking about you.
The fact that I had a friend from America message me a couple of days after saying, oh, this guy in Melbourne seroconverted, do you know him? And I was like, actually, it's me. That was mind-blowing for him. He never thought this would happen to, you know, someone that he knows. And I guess we all thought that this wouldn't happen to someone that we know, because, you know, it's never happened in Australia before. Because it was released in the media, I felt obliged to tell my parents.
Even though your name wasn't attached to it?
Even though it wasn't attached to it. I got warned that my name might be released, and I wanted them to hear it from me, not from a newspaper.
But where would your name have been released from?
You know, having the doctor say to me, don't tell anyone because the newspaper was trying to find out who you were, that to me says, be very careful. But, you know, my dad was very supportive, and, you know, it's typical of me to, like, I contracted HIV and I made world news. Like, you know, I'm that kind of person that, you know, only this happens to me.
You do seem really positive about being positive now, 1 year on.
Pardon the pun?
Well, I'm not pardoning the pun. It's a very intentional pun. Yeah.
It's something that I've embraced and I'm not ashamed of. To some degree, I feel like I'm happier. It's made me a better person. You know, I've wanted to do more for other people. And also, I've started to appreciate the little things in life, like I have a beautiful partner. I have a roof over my head. I have enough money to live and do whatever I want. I'm in a really fortunate position. I'm, you know, being a white gay male living in Australia with HIV, things could be a lot worse and could be a lot harder. So I think this has taught me to appreciate what I've got.
Also, 1 year on now, you are kind of stepping into the spotlight and saying, this is me, this was me who you were talking about. And you're doing that in a much more public way. Is that a little terrifying?
Yes and no. It is something that I wanted to do from the very start. It was so hard to sit there and not defend myself and not stand up for myself. I am a very, you know, opinionated person. If you come for me, I will bite back. So to sit there on the other side of the screen and have to stay silent ate me up inside so much. And I think now it's a relief to be able to tell my side of the story and say, you know, this is me. This is what happened. I was adhering to my medication, so...
When you were seeing those news reports and those press releases that were all saying, these are the two possible scenarios. Either we have a drug-resistant strain of HIV that PrEP can't fight, or this person wasn't doing what they were doing properly. How did that make you feel?
Angry. I knew that both of them were incorrect. We did the testing that proved that I was adhering to my medications. I had like sufficient levels of PrEP in my system, but also we did a drug resistant strain test. I was a little bit confused as to why they were giving these two scenarios, and also, I guess, angry that they were not giving the correct facts.
This must have come as a really great shock and obviously changed parts of how you approached your sex life for a period of time. Did it?
Yeah, it absolutely did. Especially the first couple months, even though I started my medication and got to undetectable, or I had an undetectable viral load, which meant I obviously can't transmit HIV to another person, I still, you know, felt the need to disclose to everyone that I had sex with. I do remember there was actually one guy, I don't think I'll ever forget him. It was actually in a back room. I told him that I was HIV positive. He kind of like pulled back, stood me up, turned me around. I was like, oh, what's going to happen now? And he gave me the biggest hug. And he's like, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm on PrEP. I know that I've had sex with heaps of guys that are HIV positive, or more than likely had sex with guys that are HIV positive, and I don't care. But the fact that you shared that with me, he said, you know, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that with me.
It does speak to the fact that when it comes to disclosure, it could still be something that people find really hard. Being on PrEP, like they do just go, I'm on PrEP, so everything's okay, and rush through it all instead of just going, it's okay at whatever point you are, whether your pants are down or you're just making out or you're just having a conversation, to be able to talk about these things and to be able to do them at whatever part of your sexual scenario.
You know, coming back to that date a year later, I know that I'm a better person. I have my head more screwed on. You know, I'm so happy with where I am, but I think this... speaking on radio or, you know, telling my story is me being able to close that chapter of my life and, yeah, come back to that date and say, cool, it's a year on. This is where I am. I'm actually happier now than what I was, you know, a year ago. And it's time for me to, you know, completely let go and, you know, embrace it and just celebrate me for me.
It's still going to be a little bit terrifying because you get to do that, but there is this media public fearness that gets entered into it. Is it terrifying?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is, because I think I put so much pressure on to this one moment and being able to tell my story. And I can say that I've thought more about this point in time than actually living with HIV, you know, being able to tell my side of the story and be able to like fight back and, you know,
it must have been
make
really,
things right.
It must have been really awful. Well, make things right. That's an interesting phrase that you choose to put in regard to it, because the fact is that things were wrong with the way they were reported, weren't they?
Absolutely. Well, for one, it shouldn't have been released to the media. I feel like if there is a right protocol to take if something like this happens, everything they should have done, they did the complete opposite. And that went from...
Do you mean from a media perspective or a medical?
Across the board.
Everything
so,
across the board.
So the organizations, my doctor, right across the board. I think everyone was so in shock that it happened and no one was expecting it to ever happen. So there wasn't a procedure in place at that point in time. And the organizations have actually come forward to me and, you know, said, we are sorry that we dropped the ball. I actually, and this is going off topic a little bit, but I remember disclosing to someone that runs a online support Facebook group. And I started to, you know, talk to them and say, you know, the person that contracted HIV whilst on PrEP. And they're like, yeah, such and such. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, this person, you know, we were at wherever we were and this person sat me down and explained to me that they were the person that, you know, contracted HIV.
Someone was saying that they were you.
Yeah. Which, you know what, if that's what they need to, you know, help them get through. And I understand it might make someone feel, you know, better about contracting HIV at fault of not their own, I guess, convincing themselves this is what happened to them and it's not their fault.
It's not a particularly healthy way to approach that, though. It's not an okay story. It's not an easy story. You haven't had an easy time of dealing with it. So why would you want to take on more?
You know what? It's, you know, it's their own. And if it makes, as I said, if it makes them feel better, it really comes down to internalized stigma, really, and being able to process that. And obviously this is that person's way of processing it. Obviously not a healthy way, but who am I to tell them what to do or what not to do? So I think as HIV positive people, we, and I say the word we because me as well, have moments of feeling as if it's well, it's quite scary disclosing to someone else. Are they going to reject me? How are they going to react? I really like this person. Are they going to tell other people? There's all these things. But I'm in a really unique situation where I had that mentality. But then I, you know, remind myself that as a PrEP user in the past, this is how I perceived HIV positive people. And the two don't actually link. The, I'm going to say most people on PrEP, or at least me, someone's status was not important to me. I knew that I was protected and I was doing everything in my power to protect myself. And obviously undetectable means untransmittable. And I think the combination of the two in my head completely took that fear out of my head. But still, I think a lot of people don't see it that way or still have that fear. So I guess I'm kind of lucky in the sense that I can see both sides of the story as a PrEP user and as someone living with HIV.
You're listening to The Informer, and we've been talking to the Melbourne man who, last year, contracted HIV while on PrEP.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.